You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history, going back to 1974 for the resignation of American President Richard Nixon at the end of the sort of Watergate scandal. So Nixon's career had started way back in the 40s as a member of the House Un-American Activities Commission investigating subversion in American life.
Robert Stripling, counsel for the Un-American Affairs Committee, and Congressman Nixon examine microfilms of top State Department documents found on the farm of Whitaker Chambers, self-confessed one-time communist spy. In the latest sensational turn of the Red Espionage Probe, the Maryland farm of the magazine editor becomes the focus of attention. Of particular interest is the pumpkin patch, which provides the hiding place for the crucial document. Nestling innocently in the patch is this pumpkin, which gave concealment to the film copies of the paper. Chambers says he adopted this ruse to foil his commie associates of 1937. Where did he get the document? The country is waiting for Mr. Chambers to point the finger.
Yes, so Nixon would parlay this minor fame into a run as Dwight Eisenhower's vice president, which would be elected in 1952, serving for two terms. He then challenged for the presidency in 1960, lost to John F. Kennedy, and was, maybe it is Jack, I can't remember.
Jack.
So it's JFK.
Oh, I thought you said Jackie. No, sorry. Jackie.
Yeah, it is John, was the, anyway, it is John. Blunder. He would eventually be elected in 1968 and then re-elected in 1972 with a wide margin.
Reporting from CBS News election headquarters in New York, here is correspondent Walter Cronkite.
Good evening from CBS News election headquarters. Some or all of the polls have closed now in a dozen states, and the early returns put President Nixon, as expected, out in front and by a sizable margin. These early returns, far too few to be significant, however, nevertheless conform to all of the indicators and all of the polls.
Walter, since we last left you, our solid South was two states solid to the Republicans, and it's grown since our last report, and now you can see the difference with the addition to President Nixon's column of Alabama, Florida, and Georgia.
We'll be back shortly with more results from Election Night 72, but first, the latest from our local stations on the races in your area. This is Walter Cronkite at our CBS News election headquarters.
Yet despite this wide margin, Nixon's administration would soon be engulfed in scandal.
Watergate. The White House called it a third-rate burglary, but it escalated into the worst political scandal in American history. President Richard Nixon, only months after landslide re-election, finds himself haunted by a question that will not go away.
What did the president know, and when did he know it?
For the first time in the nation's 198-year history, a president resigns his office before his term is over. This is the story of the fall of Richard Milhouse Nixon, of the charges of corruption and cover-up, of high crimes and misdemeanors in the White House, of the battle for the secret tapes that held the proof, of the disgrace of the president's men, and the ultimate triumph of the American system. Through it all, ABC News was there. Watch now the original ABC News broadcasts of a great TV news story, Dark Days at the White House, the Watergate scandal, and the resignation of President Richard M. Nixon. From ABC News, great TV news stories with Howard K. Smith, Harry Reasoner, Barbara Walters, Ted Koppel, Sam Donaldson, Frank Reynolds, Tom Jarrell, and the worldwide resources of ABC News.
Look at this chamber. The leadership of America is here today. The Supreme Court, the Cabinet, the Senate, the House of Representatives. Together, we hold the future of the nation and the conscience of the nation in our hands. Because this year is an election year, it will be a time of great pressure. If we yield to that pressure and fail to deal seriously with the historic challenges that we face, we will have failed the trust of millions of Americans and shaken the confidence they have a right to place in us, in their government.
The Democratic National Committee is trying to solve a spy mystery. It began before dawn Saturday when five intruders were captured by police inside the offices of the committee in Washington. The five men carried cameras and apparently had planted electronic bugs. One of them had several crisp new $100 bills in his pocket. The police said they were thoroughly professional. The suspects are saying nothing. The Democrats say they have no idea who would want to spy on them.
Mr. Nixon says emphatically that the White House is in no way involved in the burglary and bugging of the Democratic headquarters, and he'll have no further comment on that matter.
Mr. Nixon made these points. He admits that overzealous workers in his own re-election committee may have been involved in the Watergate bugging caper. And for the first time, the president admitted that the White House has investigated on its own. And he says that it found no one now employed by his administration to have been involved in any way.
The Washington Post reported today that Attorney General Kleindienst, in an interview, pledged a comprehensive, unbiased investigation of the break-in at Democratic National Committee headquarters on June 17th. The Post said Kleindienst promised the most thorough investigation since that of the assassination of President Kennedy. The Washington Post reported today that the FBI has established that high Republican officials had ordered a major political campaign of spying and sabotage against the Democrats to reassure President Nixon's re-election this year. And as part of that campaign, said the Post, the Democratic National Headquarters was bugged with electronic surveillance equipment last June. That was the so-called Watergate affair. But according to the newspaper, that was only one phase of a much more ambitious effort by the Republican hierarchy. Details from ABC's Sam Donaldson.
The Post says the espionage operation on the president's behalf was called the Offensive Security Program. It began in 1971, according to the newspaper, and was aimed first at the major contenders for the Democratic presidential nomination. Its goal, infiltration and subversion. The Post reports that a former Treasury Department lawyer, Donald Segretti, attempted to recruit at least three persons as agent provocateurs.
Senator George McGovern, campaigning in Detroit, was asked about the new bugging charges, and here is what he had to say.
The essential point of this story, as I understand it, is that the Watergate case is a part of a large network of wiretapping of that kind that's been going on. And, of course, this is the warning I've been giving about the Watergate thing, that it's not an isolated incident, that a political agency that will wiretap the headquarters of a national party, they're not going to hesitate to wiretap a businessman or a lawyer or a doctor or a labor leader, a university, or even a private home. And this is the thing the American people have to understand about the significance of this Watergate case.
November 7, 1972. Despite the Watergate controversy, Richard Nixon is overwhelmingly re-elected to the presidency, winning 49 states to George McGovern's one. The president is at the high point of his political career. But the questions about Watergate will not go away. A total of seven men have been charged in the break-in and face Judge John J. Sirica. The five Watergate burglars, including Nixon campaign security chief James McCord, all arrested in the Watergate building. And two low-level Nixon aides, G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt, charged with the planning and execution of the break-in. Some plead guilty, some are convicted. All refuse to implicate higher-ups.
I think we're good. Oh, I thought you were doing it, Lachlan.
Oh, yeah,
all right, well, that
me,
was...
No, that was part one. Wasn't it?
It was part one.
It was part one. So part two's coming back after this break. Why not?
Mummy, how do I keep on the cutting edge of great new music?
Well, when a DJ loves a record very, very much, they do a special kind of cuddle.
Never mind, I've sorted it out.
The answer to your problems. Follow 95BFM on Spotify for a lovingly curated collection of what's new, what's hot, and what's good in music.
August features Tenderlonious and the 22 Orchestra, Miss Red, Ill Bears, Razor Beezer and Mellow Downs, Tanuki-chan and more.
95BFM's monthly Spotify playlist. Stay au fait.
Hey man, do you have anything by Eat, Pray, Hate?
Sure, coming up.
Oh, you're just gonna play it?
Yes.
you're not going to say it's not in the system, or you'll try find it, but you're not sure, or you don't take requests?
This is the request show.
Shit! When does the next show start?
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m., the Jukebox Parlor is taking all your requests, and we know you have requests. Jukebox Parlor with Soong. Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on 95BFM.
Yes, we now return to this day in history. When we left off, President Richard Nixon was dealing with the fallout from the Watergate burglary, which had led to an investigation into their possible links to the White House, led by Prosecutor Archibald Cox, until his abrupt firing.
Good evening. The country tonight is in the midst of what may be the most serious constitutional crisis in its history. The president has fired the special Watergate prosecutor, Archibald Cox. Because of the president's action, the attorney general has resigned. Elliot Richardson has quit, saying he cannot carry out Mr. Nixon's instructions. Richardson's deputy, William Ruckelshaus, has been fired. Ruckelshaus refused, in a moment of constitutional drama, to obey a presidential order to fire the special Watergate prosecutor. And half an hour after the special Watergate prosecutor had been fired, agents of the FBI, acting at the direction of the White House, sealed off the offices of the special prosecutor, the offices of the attorney general, and the offices of the deputy attorney general.
Six FBI agents present, impeding our operations right now.
All of this adds up to a totally unprecedented situation, a grave and profound crisis in which the president has set himself against his own attorney general and the Department of Justice. Nothing like this has ever happened before.
Yes, and increasingly facing the threat of impeachment, Nixon instead announced his resignation on this day in history.
Good morning. This is today in Washington, Friday, August 9th. The nation awaits the swearing-in at noon Eastern Time of our 38th President, Gerald Ford, and the departure from political life of Richard M. Nixon. In a televised farewell last night, President Nixon acknowledged that because of the Watergate affair, he no longer has a strong enough base in Congress to continue with any effectiveness. He and his family are expected to leave by air for their home in California later this morning, and we expect to see their departure from the White House. I'm Barbara Walters with Jim Hartz.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. And we will have fuller details on this momentous story in just a moment, a story that many of us are still having trouble believing actually occurred. Later in this half hour, we will look back on film at that incident, that so-called caper, seemingly so minor at the time, that led to the events which culminated last night. We're talking about the Watergate break-in and the widening cast of characters that swept the events along.
Also in this hour, Edmund Newman will report on the background and character of Gerald Ford. We will speak with House Speaker Carl Albert, who for the second time in less than 10 months will become first in line to succeed a president, in this case, President Ford. We'll also look inside the White House at President Nixon and his closest advisors at the height of their power and prestige. But first, before any of this morning's news. At mid-morning today, the president will say goodbye to the White House staff in a Rose Garden ceremony, then leave Washington on an Air Force jet bound for his home in San Clemente, California. His resignation as the 37th President of the United States takes effect at noon today, Eastern Time, and at that moment, in the Oval Office, Vice President Gerald Ford will be sworn in as the 38th Chief Executive. There is, here in Washington, a great sense of relief and hope that the turmoil of the last 2 years is over at last.
Head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.